make it by myself. I need to know. Help me worship Him tonight. And I can't make it by myself. I need Lord, yes, I can't make it by myself. I need the Lord through every trial, through every test. In God's arm, I'll surely rest. Yes, I can't. And full of sorrow, and I could not find no peace within. Then I passed the house of worship, heard the preacher so softly say, couldn't make it by himself. He needed the Lord. I can't make it by myself. I need the Lord. Is that your testimony tonight? I can't. This last evening of this powerful time with you, God. Even this last week, Lord, it was for the faithful. Father, I do magnify you tonight for the strength, Lord, I felt in your word. Even the strength that I feel now, even a greater strength that is coming from the face of your people. Praise the Lord. Father, weakness. Amen. Being overcome with great strength now. And finally, O God, are the strong bearing the infirmity of the weak. Finally, Father, the strong are considering those that are not able to make it. They're willing to pull the plow, Father, for those that can't pull it at this time, that they might be able to make it into your kingdom. Holy Father, let us make our walk before you, amen, so holy and so pure. We bind this holiness unto our life, Lord, and we bind what is pure unto our mind. We loose this kingdom of God to those that are ready to receive this kingdom, God. Call down the heavens, Lord, and we bind them to our lives, all things that are holy. May they be found in our life, Father, made one with us. Loose out of your people, Lord, the powers that have kept your people captive, Lord, from entering into your holy presence, Father. Loose those powers, Lord, that kept your people from coming into the kingdom. Loose those discouraging thoughts, Lord, from your people. We bind this mind of God unto them now, Father. Praise the Lord. Where there was once discouragement, now let there be great encouragement, Father. Praise the Lord. For it was said in David that he had to learn to encourage himself in the Lord. Now let your people, Lord, amen, leave this place, Father. Leave this revival. Amen. Knowing how to encourage themselves now, Lord. Praise the Lord. Even in the face of obscurity and even in the face of darkness, let your people rise and shine, for their light is now resting on their faces. Their light is now come, Father, and it's dwelling within them. Come on, help me magnify Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, love Jesus tonight. Oh, magnify him. Don't you feel him sweeping over this place? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for me. Thank you for teaching me, teaching this people, Father, a pathway to great victory. For destroying, Father, the obstacles that have caused your people to trip. Placing light upon our pathway that we won't stumble in the darkness anymore, Lord. But each and every day your pathway grows brighter and brighter, Father, because we're heading toward this kingdom. Your pathway is becoming brighter and brighter. Your pathway is becoming like great light, where we can't err in the way of God anymore. Hallelujah. Pathway of the righteous is going to grow brighter and brighter, to where no wayfaring man is going to err therein. Let me prophesy to somebody in this house. You're becoming this pathway. Hallelujah. And you're running for all those that are going to come up right behind you. And you're just going to grow brighter and brighter for all those as you head into this pathway. As you become brighter and brighter, somebody behind you is going to get into that pathway and see the way to go now, because you're growing brighter and brighter, and their pathway shall become brighter and brighter because of where you're walking. Let the Lord have his way. Reach up tonight. Pull those heavens down around you, that cloud all around thyself. Let your head be in that cloud. Pull that spirit down. Let the Lord his way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace, as the Lord has his way in your life. In his hand, God's way, let the Lord have his way. Let the Lord have his way in your life. Each and every day, there's no rest, there's no peace. The Lord, he has his way. Place your life in his hands, safe, secure in God's plan, the Lord. Now, Lord, have your way. Spirit. is mine. Miracle I need right now belongs to me. Miracle that I need, oh, the miracle I need.
Testimonies tonight. Thank God for feeling something, some fire off of folks. It's not intellect, it's fire. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you still afraid of the fire? Think the boogeyman's going to get you in the fire? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, when are you going to find out that the fire cannot burn you? Water can't overtake you. What fire? You talking about the devil's fire, preacher? I don't care what kind of fire it is. Devil fire, God fire. It doesn't matter to me. Fire is fire. Amen. The Bible says God is a consuming fire. And that he's going to clean you up with refiner's fire. Amen. And that he would make his minister a flame of fire. So fire can't burn fire. Amen. Are you happy tonight? I really feel God's presence. How many knows that the scripture says those that wait upon the Lord? Amen. Those that really learn of him. Those that God wants to seal into something. To set apart, to prime with something that everybody's not going to, amen, be primed with. They're going to mount up with wings as of an eagle. Amen. In other words, you're going to rise when the storm comes. Amen. You're going to run this race and not be weary. And I think the greatest one of all of them is to walk and not faint. How many times have we fainted thinking, this is the one, this is, the devil's got me on this one. Amen. But God wants to teach us, even as he taught last night, and how even God himself, knowing that he's God, was in a lot of trouble all throughout that Old Testament with his people. How many times he said, sick are your new moons, the people that he loved and committed his life unto, the people that totally rejected everything he ever did. Amen. But you know what? God still knew he was God. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God still knows he's God. Do you still know what you are? Do you even know what you are yet? He never forgot who he was. In fact, if anybody tried to oppose him like Israel, he always said, I'm God. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows who he is. Do you know who you are? And Satan is the very one that could never, from the beginning, remain in the truth. Praise the Lord. Satan is the one that knows good and evil. Anybody here? And he's the one that could not remain in the truth. How many have struggled with some deeper things in God that you just really had a hard time remaining in? But how many is going to try harder this year to remain in something? Amen. To where you're not, amen, one like Satan, but you're one like God. Remaining in the truth. Praise the Lord. See, I really believe there's light and darkness. Amen. And God separated both of them in the beginning and called both of them good. But how many knows God dwells in the light? He is the light. And in him is no darkness. And if the scripture would tell us through Thessalonians that we're children of the light, then in us should be no darkness. Amen. In us should be something that would remain in the truth. Because every fruit-bearing seed is to bear forth its fruit after its kind. Now how many knows God's in the business of birthing some light children? That in them there is no darkness. There's not all that talk about what the devil's doing. Amen. It's not that we don't know that he's not over it. Amen. Out there somewhere doing something to somebody. But you know what? When we've been delivered out of his kingdom, we don't care what he's doing anymore. Amen. And God wants to give people power to bind and loose. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to give you power to bind and loose. Some of us have been binding the devil to ourselves by just saying, devil, I bind you. Amen. Maybe you need to loose him instead of bind him to you. Amen. How many's done that? Devil, I bind you. Talking to you, trying to discourage you, and you say, I bind you, devil, and boom, you just got that thought. It just gets hotter. Amen. It talks that much louder. It's because you just bound it to yourself. You're going to learn how to bind and loose. Because he's given his people the key to the kingdom. Amen. Now God was in so much trouble. He had 3.5 million Jews. They all saw his great works, his mighty power. They saw his mighty acts. They saw the sea part. Amen. They saw the frogs come and get in everybody else's stuff but theirs. They saw the death angel come and they were preserved. Amen. When darkness covered the land like it did, amen, on the west coast or the east coast, the Bible said that Israel, every one of them had light in their dwelling. Amen. It wasn't dark for Israel. It was dark for Egypt. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better get this light in your dwelling. Amen. As soon as that darkness went out on the East Coast, amen. How many remember under the tent that very night? God spoke to us right here in this ministry and said that we better have God's light in our dwelling, because it's going to happen again. And lo and behold, it hit France the very next day. And then a week later, it hit France and England again. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we better get a hold of this light. Walk in the light as He is in the light, and we can have fellowship one with another. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not that product of the darkness anymore. And you know, and how many knows that people are subject to ministry because of fear? Ministry knows how to make people afraid to make sure that they don't go nowhere. They don't go to church anywhere else. Amen. See, I say you can go somewhere else. That, if God wants you here, the blessing's still going to be waiting on you right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you just go, and when you get back, right, Brother Scotty? Amen. It'll be here waiting on you. But ministry is always putting it in the mind of people about the possibility of being deceived, being tricked, telling you what Satan might be doing. You might take the mark of the beast. It might become an antichrist coming out from among our denomination. Are you here? I'm going to make somebody's head swim here in a minute. Amen. How many knows God is not a Pentecostal? How many knows He's not a Baptist? Amen. How many knows He's not a, amen, a Church of Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many knows He's not a Church of God in Christ? Amen. God is a people. Somebody say a people. Because He wants to become one with a people. Not a building, not a denomination, not a title. He's becoming one with a people. And that people is His church. We read about the woman of Revelation, who on her forehead she has names of blasphemy. Amen. And her name is Jezebel, the great whore. Turn to your neighbor and say, you don't have one of those names, do you? I know those that have those names. They come here all the time and they say, my pastor doesn't preach like you do. Where do you go to church? Well, I'm a Church of Christ. Okay. She's got a name. He's got a name. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm a Pentecostal. That's not what we're taught. Okay. If Pentecost is not teaching the fullness of Christ, then guess what? There's another name on that woman's forehead. Are you here? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't let me lose you tonight. You call an assembly of God and God can't assemble with you because the preachers don't let Him come in. And that is a name of blasphemy as well. Amen. Brother Sean went to that Church of Christ where they don't let music come in. They don't let the presence of God come in. But they are the way, the truth, and the life. And unless you're baptized in that tank, you're not going to go to heaven. You're going to split hell wide open. Isn't that right? Do you think that that's a name of blasphemy? Amen. How many knows Christians are prejudiced? Well, turn to your neighbor and say, we're not one of those anymore. We're becoming His son. Amen. We're becoming His daughter. If you like that better, you being female. But how many knows we're, amen, God has torn down the middle wall of partition, and there's no Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. Why? Because we're all God's son. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you know what? In church, we know the difference between male and female. But in the kingdom, you don't know the difference between male. There is no difference, Jesus said, between male and female in the kingdom of God. Amen. Because even a female can grab this microphone like the Son of God himself. Lift up that voice, and boom, there goes the power of God. Amen. Are you here tonight? Sister Tamika and Sister Kristen, my wife, they dress like women. They don't have skull cans in their hand, but they got God. They're not dressed like men. They can look like a female, but still be the Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now here all of a sudden, once again, God got in trouble with 3.5 million Jews. Amen. I don't know why I'm getting off on all that stuff. I'm trying to keep my mind straight here. Having fun. It's touching every religious area so we can be free. Letting you understand this book called Revelation, which is a spiritual book. It's not happenings that are going to happen on the planet. It is a book that is being unveiled within each and every one of God's believers. Somebody say the God's believer. Amen. Not every Christian is a believer because they ask Jesus in their heart. You're a believer because you follow him. Are you here? You're a believer because, amen, you hear the words that he has spoken and is speaking today. Amen. And you're following the way that he's instructing. Like, amen, somebody said earlier, whoever that was, I don't remember now. You got to obey what God is telling you. Amen. Can't worry about what he's telling your neighbor, your sister, your mother, your father. You've got to follow that voice of God that's speaking to you as an individual. Now in Christianity, everybody got to follow the same idea. Everybody's got to have the same, amen, the same look. A Baptist, you know, you just can't help but see a Baptist. You know a Baptist when you walk on right up to one. They have that same thing. Amen. I walked right up into a counter today. Amen. Gave a woman a word. Amen. And in another city, Louisville, way down south in the south part, I just felt something real close. I saw something, amen, that I really liked about her. I saw ministry in her life and everything. And so I just opened up my mouth right behind the counter when everybody got away from her, all her helpers and all the people that are trying to train her. She was finally by herself. I said, where do you go to church? She says she goes to the, amen, St. Andrew's, amen, Church of God in Christ. I said, really? I said, do you know that there's ministry in your life? Amen. She says, no, I said, not only that, there's gifts there. And I said, and you're going to preach. And she shut up on that preach part. She didn't want to know about that part right there, but she's a preacher. You can't help but see it. When God's calling some, amen, that are coming out of bondage. You know, when you ask God, when you sincerely ask God, show me your way, show me your truth, and show me your life. When you really ask him that, then he's going to take you out of forms of religion and bring you to houses like this, and he's going to teach you, and he's going to instruct you. And when you begin to wait on the Lord, amen. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. Amen. It's for him to put his fullness within you by waiting. Amen. That you can rise above every storm. Isn't that what the eagle does? When the storm's coming, he rises above the storm. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, isn't it time to rise above the storm instead of going down like a ship? To run and not be weary. To walk and not faint. To not lose your mind. Here Israel is losing their mind. They saw, I mean, my God, what all did they see? And yet they still could not believe. And God went right into their dwellings and began to listen to them. Not in Egypt, amen, now, but now it's in the wilderness where he wants to take them to the promised land. To where they are going to be brought to a sweet language. Amen. They're going to be brought to a language that Adam had in the garden. Amen. That's what milk and honey is all about, a sweet language. It's the language of God. It's not an American language, a Pentecostal language, a Baptist language, a full gospel language. Amen. It's not a French language. It's God's language. Amen. And God could not even get that people out of an Egyptian language. It was easy for him to deliver them out of Egypt, but it was hard to get Egypt out of them. While we've been in the wilderness, whatever church we've been at, did not God say he was going to prepare a place for the woman in the wilderness where he would feed her? What does he feed her in the wilderness? He feeds her daily bread, scriptures to survive on. But it's only in the land of Canaan that he feeds hidden manna. Praise the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I hear the book of Revelations talking that he that overcomes, I'm going to give that one hidden manna. Amen. I don't know about you. I want something more than just daily bread. I want to have this hidden manna. Because Jesus said, if you find me, you're going to never see death. If you can eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have part with me. And let me tell you, the part that he has nothing to do with death. He has nothing to do with sickness and darkness. Amen. How many knows Jesus isn't confused today? And so for us to eat of him means to eat of his nature and what he's really all about. And let me tell you, he sits at the right hand of the power of God, and he knows who he is too. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus knows who he is. The Father knows who he is. How many knows the Holy Ghost is eventually going to find out who he is? I'm not hearing that. Where is the Holy Ghost today? Is this not his temple? Turn to your neighbor and say, the Holy Ghost is going to find out who he is. The Father knows who he is. The Son knows who he is. And the Holy Ghost is going to find out who he is. And guess what? We're going to walk like God wants us to walk. Amen. Well, I thought the Holy Ghost was the third person of the Trinity. He is not a person except he become your flesh. Then he becomes a person. Because he's in you. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Trinity people got Jesus on one side, the Holy Ghost on another side, and the Father on his throne up there, way up beyond the blue. The oneness of the Father, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus on the same throne. Up there somewhere. But kingdom people have Father, Son, Holy Ghost right here. Amen. They're not up there. Turn to your neighbor and say, they're right there. He said, you can blaspheme. Hey, can you imagine this? Jesus, amen, was given all power over everything. And he said, you could blaspheme the Father. Give him all that murmuring and the complaining. Amen. You can speak bad about him in the wilderness. You can talk about what God's trying to do for you in your dwelling. They were blaspheming God. Just by speaking against the way that God was leading them to go. He's the Father. He's the creator of everything. You can blaspheme him. You can speak bad about him and be forgiven, Jesus said. Now here Jesus is put him at the right hand of all things. And he says this about himself, that you can blaspheme me as well. Amen. And did they not? Those Pharisees called him Beelzebel. Amen. Called him a sinner. Amen. Anybody here? Called him, amen, you name it. Snake. Praise the Lord. Serpent. Amen. You name it. They called Jesus that. Here is the one that was given all authority over every power, principality, every ruler, every government, every throne, visible and invisible. And you can blaspheme him and be forgiven. But there is no forgiveness for this Holy Ghost if you blaspheme that Holy Ghost. Amen. And what we haven't understood and what preachers have made us fear is that we're going to hell if we do. But when God's driving us somewhere and we just don't want to go, we're resisting what he's declaring or showing us to do, just like the children of Israel did to the Father, just like the children of Israel did to the Son. If we don't follow where the Holy Ghost is leading us, we blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And there is no forgiveness in this lifetime or the lifetime after, because there is no lifetime. You understand that the lifetime he was talking about was the age of the Son. The lifetime thereafter was the age of the Holy Ghost. When he went to the right hand of power, now it's the Holy Ghost, or it's the age of the Holy Ghost. There's no other age after that. Amen. God ruled looking for a son, amen, to walk in for 4,000 years and never got one, until he caused a woman to be found with child, his child. Amen. Now all of a sudden he found a child and he waited for 4,000 years for him. Couldn't get a prophet to become that child. Yet the prophets, amen, searched the scriptures diligently to see if they were one, they were the Messiah, they were the Christ. Because that spirit was on them so mightily to prophesy, to see the future. And they were wondering if they were the Christ. And they saw diligently, but they weren't the one. Most prophets, you know, they're moody. Turn to your neighbor and say, prophets are moody. Oh, yes, they are. Elijah was a moody man. Amen. Because he was the only one that had what he had. No one else was around. And he said, God, I just want to die. Amen. God went into that cave where he was at and said, son, what are you doing here? Well, I'm the only one, God. Moody. Wanting to die. Amen. Wanting to just give up the ghost. I'm out of here, God. Praise the Lord. Just kill me. Amen. Slit my wrist or something. Get me out of this world, because there is nobody that loves you like I love you. Finally, you know, he got shook out of it. And he came back to life. Because God spoke to him and said, there's 7,000 that have not bowed their knee unto Baal. But his son Elijah, he couldn't shake it. And he died a sick man. Praise the Lord. Only performing 15 miracles. Elijah did 8. But the 16th miracle, to where he did a double portion, is when that dead man was thrown into his grave and came alive. So God still honored that one that just couldn't shake the desire to die. And we've got to shake that desire. Amen. As soon as people get a little older, I mean, I suffer with it. When I turned 40 this year, there's 2 or 3 times, you know, I got to think, dear God. Amen. But I feel like I did 10 years ago. Amen. I feel like I did 20 years ago. I don't feel like I'm getting older. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't think like you're getting older. You got to think like you're getting better. When you start seeing those gray hairs, don't think of getting aged. Think of getting wisdom. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to have hair like Jesus. And he doesn't have chestnut hair anymore. He's got hair white like wool. Not because he's old, because it's wisdom. Amen. Some of the ladies today, they go see Miss Claire all and get rid of that wisdom. But that's all right. You can hide it, but it's going to still come forth. It's still under there somewhere. Amen. And nothing wrong with hiding it. I'm not going to tell you that's wrong at all. Amen. Pentecost will tell you that's wrong, but I'm not going to tell you that's wrong. Amen. They want your hair on a bun, piled up real high, like that's your glory crown or something. Amen. It's not your glory crown. It's a spirit. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to have crowns just like Jesus had crowns. One of those crowns is the crown of life. And that has nothing to do with something you're going to wear on your head. It's me. It's just simply this right here. The same trial that you go through that causes people to die in the midst of that trial, you just keep on living. What takes other people down can't take you down is the crown of life. It causes everybody else to go want to kill themselves. You just keep on moving in God. You got this crown of life. The crown called glory too. What is that? He said, God, that our reward is to be His glory. That we would be the glory of the Father. Amen. Have you ever read that? Amen. That our reward is to be glorified. And in fact, in Thessalonians said, He shall be glorified and admired in all of His saints at His coming. Amen. And guess where it says where He's coming to? He's not going to go through the eastern sky. Amen. Because if He, you know, split the sky that's above us, anybody that is west of us, it's not east for them anymore. Amen. If He came right above us, well, going toward California, that's east, but going, amen, toward the Carolinas, that's west. How are they going to see Him? Because they're looking to the east still. They're looking to the rising of the sun. Don't we understand? Amen. That the east always is the rising of the sun. And He said, He that overcometh shall the morning star rise within their heart. Don't you know that you're the child of the east? You're this rising star. You're this rising day. He's rising right within your life, within your members. Come on, magnify Him. And He's going to appear right there in you. You're the child of the day. He that overcomes, I will cause the morning star. Man, that's pretty good right there. We better get that tape. God's talking tonight, let me tell you. This morning star ought to be rising within your heart. This eastern sky, amen, who you are, amen. What does the word rib mean? It means sky. And let me tell you, this star is going to rise within our heart, and the sky is going to be filled with God's glory, because He's coming just like Thessalonians said He's coming. But He's coming within His saints, and He shall be glorified and admired within them all. His coming is within you, and it's getting greater and greater, and it's progressing, and it's getting greater and greater. It's becoming faith upon faith, glory unto glory, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's been here a little and there a little, but before it's all over with, God is preparing Himself a dwelling, who you are. And when He's ready to show up like He showed up in Moses, He's going to move right into the house. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have in My Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. How did Jesus prepare a place? He didn't have to go up there to start building mansions and streets of gold. He prepared a place by going to Calvary. And for Him dying for all of your sins, your sicknesses, your inferiorities, your weaknesses, amen, all your sorrows, He prepared a place for you by that right there. He's not, amen, got Him a hammer and some tool belt up there building you a mansion. He's building you up. He's building you up in this holy call. He's building you up in this holy faith. Hallelujah. So in that right there, we see the blasphemy of the Father. I know when I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I didn't want to surrender. I didn't want to go that way. I know in 1995, I didn't want to go this way. God was showing me some things in 1995 that I said, God, the people don't want this. They just just want them to worry about and know about how heaven is going to be like. Nobody's been there to tell anybody yet. But everybody got a word on what heaven's going to be like. Won't it be wonderful when we hop down the streets of gold? Wouldn't it be wonderful when we dip our feet in the river of life? See grandma by the river. Amen. What if everything is not what we've portrayed it to be? What if everything is like a golden calf? Praise the Lord. What ministry has showed us is like a golden calf. They have formed what heaven will be like. Amen. Let me tell you, sweetheart, that if they didn't know Jesus in his day, the Son of the Most High God, if they didn't know Israel, the preachers of that day, didn't even know when he was born, but magi, amen, witchcraft workers from the east, which was the way of the light, amen, the children of the light, the Chaldeans, that's who the magi were, amen. Look up the word wise men. It means magi, men of magic. Amen, but God always comes from the light. Abraham was also a Chaldean. And God, amen. Eastern religion knows how to keep your body well. Amen. But they try to make you your individual deity. It's because somebody has, amen, a lie doesn't mean not everything they have is a lie. Amen. Is this all right? If that's true, then what was Abraham coming out of the land of East, and God called him from that land of East? I wonder how far east of Israel he was when God called him. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say magi. Men of magic. They knew that Christ was born the day that he was born, and they left from that far country to find this king to go worship him and bring forth him gifts. Because the star that they followed spoke to them. Praise the Lord. They followed a moving star. You can't follow a star. You go out there and follow one of those stars. Amen. Star, read your Bible all over again. Don't let men read it for you. Read it all over again. Amen. They followed a star that spoke to them, a star that showed them that a king was born. Had to have spoke to them because it showed them that a king was born. Amen. And it took them a long time to get there because they didn't meet that king in the manger like we have our nativity scene. Amen. They met him when he was a young child in his father's house. He wasn't in a manger. All of Israel didn't even know he was born. God spoke to a couple shepherds, smote them. Amen. While they were tending their sheep. Amen. In a pasture kind of like this. And you can think that they were just shepherds of natural sheep, but I like to think of it like this, that they were real shepherds of people. Amen. Is this all right? Because God said in the Old Testament he was going to smite the shepherds. Amen. Because they weren't teaching the people anything. So I'm pretty sure that the shepherds that were out in the field tending to their sheep were probably preaching like I'm doing tonight. The few that they had, he's coming, the Messiah's coming. Praise the Lord. Amen, one day he's going to be here. Amen, and every eye is going to see him like they're saying today. They're preaching, he's coming, and how many still preaching today? He's coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's already here. Amen. Is he not in you? And confused religion puts him back in heaven 1 minute. See, they don't abide in the truth. 1 minute he's up there coming back, but the next minute he's here. I ask him into my heart, but then I throw him back up there. Amen. Anybody here, turn to your neighbor and say, have you not received the Spirit of God? Did not Jesus send forth his Spirit into our hearts where we can cry, Abba, Father? Amen. Praise the Lord. But what about his second coming? What do you mean his second coming? I don't know how many times he's came. I don't know if he came tonight for somebody, how many times would he have already come? Amen. Can you count them on one hand? You need somebody else's hands and toes and fingers because he came to Israel many times. Amen. He came to Jerusalem in the flesh one time, Jesus did. But on the day of Pentecost, he came again. But on the road to Damascus, he came again for Paul. On the Isle of Patmos, he came again because John the Baptist said, "Behold, he comes." How many times has he come in the last 2,000 years ago? But this church is still waiting for him. They're still looking for him to come. Amen. You're never going to see him with these eyes. Amen. You're going to have to see him in your understanding. You have to learn his way all over again. Amen. Religion is never going to let us see Jesus. They won't never let us put him in our flesh. But this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit of error versus truth. But any spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is in the flesh is of Antichrist. Amen. Not coming in the flesh, not was in the flesh, but is in the flesh. Anyone that confesses not that Jesus Christ is, that's a present word. That's not a gonna be or a was. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Where is he tonight?" Amen. Praise the Lord. Once his Pilate, amen, he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. His wife warned him. But you know what? The pressure. See, that's why people can't stay here, because of the pressure of the system of people, family. Don't let people come out of what organization they've been part of. I really heard this tonight. Pressure doesn't let people come here. Just like Pontius Pilate did not want to crucify the Lord. But the pressure of the people said, "You know what? You're not of us if you don't crucify him." And because of the pressure of the people, amen, he went ahead and crucified the Lord. Amen. Why? Amen. So he could be approved with the people. What are you following? You following approval that comes by man? Are you following approval that comes from God? Are you going to churches because they are of your kind? Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus never said, "Go raise disciples of your own kind." He said, "Go into all nations, raising disciples of every nation." I'm going to raise up disciples of a Baptist nation. But I'm going to raise up, disciples also of a Zambian nation. I'm going to raise up disciples, amen, that come out of Methodist, organizations and Catholic. We got them coming here. Church of Christ right there. Pentecost right there. Amen. Baptist right here. Catholic. I never could stay in all that religion. After Baptist, I was there the longest, and I couldn't stay very long in Pentecost. Amen. They just didn't let you love God. You spoke in tongues. You got in trouble with folks. Isn't that right, Sister Lisa? Praise the Lord. Amen. You spoke in tongues in the wrong place because you weren't in church. Man, you can get in trouble with them folks. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You can get in trouble." Because you're only supposed to speak in tongues in church. By no means, don't go to the bar room. You can pull. Speaking tongues. Come on, help me tonight. Can't do that. But I found out the Spirit can talk wherever he wants to talk. Amen. Did he not say, "Rise and shine, for your light has come"? Because gross darkness has covered the face of the earth. What are you afraid of gross darkness for? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't be afraid anymore of gross darkness." You're supposed to light, let that light so shine before gross darkness. Amen. People are so worried about the gross darkness that is covering the land. So worried about all the abortions. So worried about the war. So worried about rumors of wars. So worried about, amen, how the politics and the politicians are taking us. So worried about this and so worried about that. So worried about a bishop that is an openly gay homosexual. Amen. Beginning to pastor, amen, a group of churches. So worried about all that when God said gross darkness would cover the face of the earth. But this was your hour. Let the gross darkness cover, amen, the face of the earth. Because it's our hour to begin to rise and shine.
Why are we afraid of gross darkness? God said, first gross darkness, then we're going to rise with a great light. Praise the Lord. What are you afraid of? Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you still afraid of? Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. Risen upon you. What is the glory of the Lord doing rising upon you if he's still out there somewhere? Amen. Come on, help me tonight. He's going to rise upon you. His glory is going to cover, amen, the face of his people. Even as the waters cover the face of the earth, so shall his glory cover the face of his people. What are you waiting on? What coming are you looking for now? Come on, bless him tonight. Rise and shine, for thy light is gone. So, here we go. See where the Father was blasphemed? People had to go that way. And number six is the opposite of what really God is all about. Amen. They have 666 in their forehead. Amen. People that cannot relearn when God wants them to relearn. Some people are so marked, and pressure won't let that mark get out of their forehead. Are you here? They were raised Baptist, and they're going to die a Baptist. And they're going to die with a Baptist understanding, not believing that God can empower them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. They are marked in their forehead. They are marked in their hands. They can't lay hands on the sick that they can recover. Amen. The right hand has to do with fellowship. Everybody in America greets with the right hand. Amen. You to raise up and lay hands on elders. Amen. You transfer power through the hand. But you know what? You can't do it in some places. In those places, they're marked in their hands, or they're marked. And mostly it's a Pentecostal, a full gospel, charismatic thing that will not let this mind be changed. I found out more Catholics will be changed in their mind than some Pentecostal. Amen. You say, preacher, I thought it was going to be the number 666 in the forehead. Well, let me talk to you about those that are going to be marked with the ink horn that comes from God's mark out of his his presence. And he said, don't touch any green thing, any of the trees, until I have marked the servants of God in their forehead. Well, somebody might tell me tonight, I thought that was a spiritual mark. Well, so is 666 a spiritual mark. The whole book is a spiritual mark. The whole book is spiritual. Amen. What did Paul say perfection was not? Hebrews chapter 6 will tell you that. This is just, amen, this is ketchup. Amen. This is rehearsal for the final test. Amen. We've been out here for a while, and man, we have heard some powerful things. Amen. Praise the Lord, isn't that right? This book of Revelations is about a war that's going on right in the church. Amen. Forget the planet. The war and the conflict is between Christ and Satan, who sits in the temple of God declaring himself to be God. Are you here? Why did those seven churches suffer Satan, even his doctrines, to be heard amongst them? Amen. Why did those seven churches allow Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, a prophetess, to teach the servants of God to commit fornication and to worship at idols, or worship, amen, idols? Amen. It is about God coming into his church, through his church, his true ones, to shine the light and to expose where Satan has been preaching and teaching and seducing not the world, the servants of God, to commit fornication.
With what?
We all have to die is one thing. We all have to be a sinner till we see Jesus in heaven. Amen. Nobody can ever be perfect until we're with God. Can I go on? Nobody can ever reach the place where they become immortal. Yet, amen, the second chapter of Romans, amen, in verse 7, I believe, says, seek immortality. Why would he say seek it if you could never have it? Not only did he tell you to seek that, he said seek, amen, glory. Seek honor and seek eternal life. Praise the Lord. Well, if eternal life is out there after I got to go by the grave, then why do I need to seek eternal life? I can just die like grandma died with diabetes or something. Why does God want me to seek? Why does he want me to believe in eternal life when all I got to do is die and get there? Praise the Lord. Come on, help me tonight. Why would he tell me to seek? He said, if you seek, you're going to find. Who is going to find this eternal life? And who is going to find this immortality? And who's going to find this glory and this honor? Why would God tell you to seek it and you couldn't find it? Knock and the door will be open to you. Hallelujah. It was open. It was open to Jesus Christ when they went to go throw him off the cliff. He just passed right through the whole bunch and they couldn't get a hold of him. This eternal life was with Paul, but he was stoned 3 times, but he couldn't die. This eternal life was with John when they boiled him in oil, but he could not cook. Come on, magnify Jesus. This eternal life was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they couldn't burn. This eternal life was with, amen, Daniel in the lion's den when all of a sudden they weren't hungry anymore. Hallelujah. Somebody say eternal life. Glory on.
So for 4,000 years, the Father was blaspheming, the number six. For 3.5 years, the Son was blaspheming, the number six. Today, the Holy Ghost is being blasphemed until somebody repent of the way that they're going. And when we repent, we can be forgiven. Is this all right? The church will never let you believe that you can be forgiven blaspheming the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is stop quenching the Spirit, and you have stopped blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Are you here tonight? All you got to do is get on that fast. When he's telling you to get on that fast, and you stop blaspheming the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is surrender to what he's calling you to do and you stop blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Because there's no other age after this one. Do you understand that this is the age of the Holy Ghost? And I don't know how long it's going to go on. But the age of the Father was 4,000 years. The age of the Son was 3.5. And the age of the Holy Ghost has been 2,000 years so far. I wonder how far we're going to go. Praise the Lord. Amen. Six, six, six. Amen. What does 6 say? Christ cannot be in us or in our flesh. Praise the Lord. But how many believe that Christ is in you? When Christ is in you, it turns the 6 into a 7. Praise the Lord. And 7 is the number of perfection. And what did he raise up? Some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, pastors. He raised up 5 teachers. Amen. For what? The perfection to go from 5. Amen. Or to help those that are still stuck in the 6th day. Amen. That have not yet ceased from their own work, their own labor. For them to enter into the 7th day. And he that enters into the 7th day has ceased from his work. Even as God has ceased from his work when he entered into that 7th day. I don't know about you, but there still remaineth the rest for the people of God who are still in 6 working to work, just like a Buddhist is working to work, trying to get to heaven, trying to reach Nirvana. A New Ager is doing all that. But when you cease from that work and you begin to rest in God, you're just like God who ceased from his own work because you found out finally who you are in God. Praise the Lord. Jesus ceased from his work and said, it is finished at Calvary. And he entered into his rest.
When will this church hour enter into her rest? Praise the Lord. 2,000 years it's been. When will the church begin to rest? When will she be found in a day where she's not working to get God to move for her? But here she's all of a sudden, as she walks, God is walking with her. And he is their God, and they have become his people. And what they do is what the Father's doing. Jesus said, I could do not one thing, except I see my Father do it. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. There is a church that is rising out of the earth. There is a church that is rising out of an Adamic race. There is a church that is coming out of the form of Adam. And they are becoming just like Christ Jesus. And they're going to go wherever the Spirit of God leads them to go. And they're going to go into the Spirit. And they're going to walk in the Spirit. And they're going to be the mighty sons of God that the earth has been moaning and groaning and complaining and calling on. The whole earth is groaning and waiting and travailing for the sons of God to appear. Hallelujah. The earth is waiting on you, son. The earth is waiting on you, daughter. Your family members are waiting on you. They're going to die unless you rise. Come on, help me tonight. Moses was faithful over his house. Moses was faithful. David was faithful over his house. And Christ is faithful over his house, whose house we are. Praise the Lord. I remember when we started this ministry 7 years ago. It'll be in January. I was praying beside my couch in the living room. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, I'm going to save your whole house, my son. And I began to weep. Because I was thinking of my sister who'd been through so much trouble and hurt my men. One that is dear to my heart, and because I've been following God, she thought I didn't want anything to do with it. Slapped me in the head all the time. Well, you didn't want nothing to do with me before. What do you want to do with me now? Praise the Lord. God didn't let me go home. I had to separate unto him. That's what it means to wait on the Lord, to be separated, to be holy unto God. Wait upon him. And it broke my heart. And God spoke to me right there beside my couch in my living room on Josie Lane in Denton, or Joyce Lane. And he said, I'm going to cause your whole house to be saved. And you know what? The first vision I saw was my family. But all of a sudden, my family became a multitude of people. If Christ was for the saving of his house, and Christ is in you, then you become the salvation for your house. Praise the Lord. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Amen. This revival is for that light to shine upon you. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Praise the Lord. We're going to get out of that old condemnation that we've been in. And that critical spirit that we once had, and we're going to love our family all the way into the kingdom of God. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love casts out all fear. That's what I'm going to start opening with from now on. Because I know when I start opening these kind of things up, people get afraid. But if we have perfect love, we shouldn't be afraid. Amen. You know when you were upright, isn't that right, sister, to me? Amen. Start hearing things like I'm saying, and you can get afraid pretty quick. What are we afraid of? You know that the definition of Balaam, who teaches, amen, one of those churches in the book of Revelations, that definition means fearful and timid. Amen. I'm not fearful and I'm not afraid anymore. I know when I couldn't look people in the face anymore. I
time. I know when I couldn't look at people in the face. I know when I wasn't bold. And I remember a word came to me by this little farmer, amen, prophet. He had overalls and a t-shirt on. At a church in Dallas. And he came right up to me. He said, "My son, not everything you're going to do in God is going to be easy." He said, "But I see where you're very timid right now. But the Spirit of God is going to wax upon you mightily. And you're going to become bold like a lion." You want to talk about a word that came from a country preacher? That has come to pass, because I'm not afraid of it. But I still see where people are afraid. And what are you afraid of? See, religion has kept our battle, the homosexuals versus the Christians, the politicians versus the Christians. That's not God's battle. God's battle is to get Satan out of the church. God's battle is to get Jezebel out of the church. God's battle is to get, amen, to get Balaam out of the church and to cause them to no longer preach in these pulpits. And not only that, his battle is to get the spots out of our garments. And how many knows that by now that spot isn't cigarettes? Amen. That spot isn't alcohol. That spot isn't four-letter words. That spot is what Jude said the spots in your garments were. He said, "These are the spots in your garment. The spirit of Cain." What is the spirit of Cain? He is jealous. Because his brother has a more excellent sacrifice. And God received him. How much of that is going on in the body of Christ today? Praise the Lord. I mean to tell you, somebody gets anointed in the house or gets picked. And there's always somebody out there. Why is he choosing that one? That's the spirit of Cain. The spirit of Korah. He's the one that went up to Moses and said, "Moses, you're doing too much. We're going to take over the ministry now." That's just like deacons in the church. Praise the Lord. Deacons that want to rule the pulpit. And tell the preacher what to preach. "We're going to take some of this responsibility from you, Moses." What did Moses do? He just bowed his face to the earth. He said, "If God be God." What did the earth do? It opened up and swallowed up Korah. Praise the Lord. What is the spirit of Korah? The one that wants to control ministry. Amen. And the spirit of Balaam. It's the third spot in the garment that's in the body of Christ. Amen. What is Balaam? He's the one that prophesies for money or for gain. Boy, do I see a lot of that in Denton, Texas. Praise the Lord. Last mayor's race will prove to you. Now, there's the spirit of Balaam right there in Denton, Texas, in all those churches. Everybody was prophesying. Amen. To the one that was running for mayor in Denton. Amen. And God spoke to me before I heard all of all that crazy prophecy. Told me to go up to him and say unto him through a strong visitation, "God does not want you to become a religious nut. The fall for everything." I mean to tell you, he had prophets from Israel saying, "You're going to win this mayor's race." Right after that. Amen. Then preachers, certain preachers that wanted to prophesy for gain, said, "You're going to get this mayor's race. You're going to win. It's going to be a landslide." Amen. I wasn't hearing that, but I was still for the man. Amen. Guess what? It was a landslide. But he didn't win. And he sets all them preachers up like something and disregards me as nothing. But isn't that just the way it always is? Amen. What did they do at the time the Father ruled? They killed all the prophets. What did they do to Jesus? It wasn't Pontius Pilate that killed our Lord. It was the Pharisee and the Sadducee. And who do you think is going to kill you today? What are you worried about? Amen. They did it to the prophets in the hour of the Father. They did it to the Son. Do you think it's not going to be the same today? It's going to be the same. Amen. Are you here? Y'all trying to get our mind trained on what we're supposed to battle. Power to be clean. And what we are to get away from. Amen. You want to know what touching not the unclean thing is? Religious order. That's the unclean. You know, they taught us it's going to picture shows. Amen. A few years ago in the 50s, it was watching that one-eyed devil, the television. But now it's not the one-eyed devil anymore. Because every Pentecostal preacher got one in their house today. And I've been into those Pentecostal preachers' houses, and I watched them watch soap operas. That's all right. But dear God, no wonder your people are in trouble. No wonder they're still sick. Amen. Are you here? I mean, I've seen it all. I mean, people are always, I mean, I know where people have been tricked before in ministry, but you're not going to be tricked here. I'm going to expose every trick to where you can see them now. Amen. The snare of the devil is going to be seen here, where we don't have to fall in it anymore. Amen. Our giving here is unto God, not unto man. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, your giving ought to be unto God, not unto man. The people need to be healed in their giving, like where they have given. Like, I remember a woman so discouraged because of what happened to Jim Baker. So I gave to his ministry for years and got saved there. Boy, wisdom got on a preacher in a talk show. He doesn't have a lot of wisdom, but he did that day. He said, who were you giving to when Jim Baker fell? She said, I was giving to God. I said, and he said to her, he said, you received Christ in that ministry, didn't you? And she said, yeah, I sure did. She said, he said, you need to get away from that way of thinking, because you received salvation right there, even by your giving, and no matter whether he fell or not, you still received your salvation. You need to continue on walking with God. Amen. And I know that that set that woman free, where she was always going to think every church she went to, she's going to be deceived. Amen. All the days of her life, she's going to be deceived. Now she realized, boom, well, my giving was unto God, and I did get salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this all right? People need to leave those men alone. Amen. Because you're not any different than them. Amen. Unless you got something, amen, that they just didn't have. More than likely, Jim Baker and Jimmy Swagger had yes men. Amen. They were so big that nobody would argue with them, talk bad to them. Went with all that they would say. Amen. See, I know that as one that preaches this light in perfection, I'm coming up before, amen, the Lord. Because I know the Lord's in me. And if I was doing anything wrong, he would tell you. But just like the Lord told Sister Tamika, it's the real deal. That's what I want to be. Just like Brother Sean said, I want to be real. That's where I'm at. Amen. I want to be really real. Turn to your neighbor and say, doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're obeying God. As long as you're talking that kingdom, that language of God that's been lost in the church. They got a little bit of language, but then they lose it with a little bit of religion. Then there's a little bit of language, and then there's a little more religion. Somewhere in an hour meeting in some places, you might hear God say something just for a second through that preacher's mouth. But when you come here, how many hears them from start to close? Amen. And when I'm the one that's just talking, kind of like Paul said, you know, it's me that's saying this. You know what I'm speaking to you. But dear God, most of the time God's talking here. Amen. If I speak to you, it's just out of the wisdom where I've been. When Brother Sean speaks to you, it's out of the wisdom of where he's been. But then there's the Lord. Amen. That's what Paul said. You know, the Lord would say unto you, in the same chapter, this is what the Lord would say, but this is what I would say. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But most of these places, it's just what they would say. They never hear the Lord. Is this all right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you came to a place where you're going to hear the Lord. You're not going to hear man. And I heard the Lord in testimonies tonight. Thank God. I told you this revival is good for you. Give Jesus a hand clap tonight. I felt the anointing. And you're bringing him with you. The high priest, they took those 12 stones that were on their breasts, that were on their heart, which represented the people. And they went right in before God, the mercy seat beneath the wings of the cherub, where they met God. God spoke to the priesthood, to those stones that were on his chest. And then he turned to the people and spoke to the people what God said. See, I know where the mercy seat is now. This mercy seat is within you. So when I come before you, I'm coming before you like a priest. When you go before your people, and when, amen, you're going before the people like a priest, and you bear them on your chest, amen, on your heart, and you deliver the word that God wants you to deliver, and you don't worry about their faces, deliver and get out, and the word fall, amen. Some people won't like what you have to say. I know of a word that's going to be carried to somebody. And I thought, oh God, I thank God you're the prophet. I just didn't want to deliver that word. I told somebody today, I said, I'm glad God told you that, because I don't want to deliver that one. Praise the Lord. I said, I'm glad you got that call. Because I like being sweet. I know sometimes when I'm preaching, a newcomer doesn't think I'm so sweet, but I'm really sweet. I really am. That lion shows up called Judah. Might not look like I'm so sweet. Amen. But I'm going to be sweet to a devil. I'm going to be sweet to an angel. Amen. If unto God there's neither no difference between light and darkness, then how about his sons? When are we going to get to the place where there's no difference between light and darkness? If at his left hand are the goats, all the devils, and at his right hand is all the angels, what is he worried about? He knows he's still God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And here's all these devils sitting at his left hand. These goats. Oh, yeah, they are. You go to Chronicles 18 and 18. You'll read some hair-raising stuff. Amen. When Ahab. Amen. God was ready to bring Ahab down. Amen. To entice him. He just spoke to those that were on his left and those that were on his right and said, who shall go entice Ahab? And a spirit jumped right out from among him and stood right before the Lord and said, I shall go for you. And God spoke to that spirit and said, how shall you go? And that spirit said, I will become a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. Praise the Lord. And you know what God said? Go. You will have success. If you think the devil is out here doing what he wants to do, he's not. Praise the Lord. The devil didn't touch Job until God gave the devil the permission. And if God can make an opposite and still sit on the throne and not think that he's losing ground or losing the battle. Amen. How many knows he can sit on the throne today again? And still not worried, wonder where he's whether he's going to win the battle or not. Where's his throne today? He said, if you obey my commandment, if you love me, you obey my commandment. He said, I and my Father will take up our abode in you. So where's the throne tonight? Anybody believe the throne's in you? You know what Ezekiel said? I beheld the throne as the face of a man. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's the throne. I'm looking at the throne tonight. You thought it was some white chair up in the heaven. No, you're the white chair. God's sitting down in. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give him a hand clap tonight. I love Jesus. How many felt him tonight? Amen. God is so good. He's been so good to us. Just lift up those hands toward him. This is our last night. Don't worry, we're back in Denton on Tuesday night at Church on Fire. We got a building. Amen. But I just wish we could keep on going, but we're going to Africa on Friday. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, God's going to give us, amen, a big room like this one day. Well, I'm grateful for what we have for now. I want you to just slip up those hands and love them tonight. I just really want you to love Jesus tonight. I just want you to tell him tonight, where you lead me, I'm going to follow. No, I'm not going to resist you anymore. I want to find that new place, that new position in you. I want to find those new realms and heavenly places. Spoke to Moses and said, I'm tired of this people, Moses. I'm going to raise up a nation unto you. I'm going to kill all these out of here. And Moses told God, repent from the evil. Praise the Lord. Don't you remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Praise the Lord. Here's Moses telling God to repent from his evil. Amen. Man, I want my wrath to wax hot against this people, Moses. Repent, God. Guess what? Moses got to the place that he knew what position he had with God to him. That's why he could talk to God like that. Because he was crying out, and then he had a love for the people. God was pleased with that. Because finally he had a man in the earth. Stood in the gap to make up the hedge where the people still rebelled against the Father. They still rebelled and blasphemed him, his name. There was a man that would not blaspheme his name nor see the people perish. Come on, magnify Jesus. I believe he's raising up you. Stand in the gap to make up the hedge for those that are around about your life. Come on, love him tonight. I want you to bless him. I want you to bless him. Lord. Just lift up your hands. Father, I thank you for this man of faith, a man that desires to believe you all the way, Father. And I speak to his body this night, Father. And I pray, Lord, that all this weakness, amen, I draw a lot of him great strength, God, that is found in you, Father. And all this infection, Father, amen, I curse it in the name of Jesus. I command it to die, Father. And I loose it right out of his life this night. And I bind this divine health right unto him, Father. Praise the Lord. And from the top of his head to the sole of his foot, he would be made whole, Father. God, you would cause the organs of this body, amen, to function properly, Father. Praise the Lord. I speak of this infection. I command you to go. Praise the Lord. Body, you begin to function. You begin to produce according to God's divine plan this night. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you for it, God. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for your healing this night. There is a bomb in Gilead, Father. There is still power in your blood. I see you. Amen. I see you running. And I see you walking. I see where you, amen, where the enemy would like to cause you to faint. But I see you walking. I see you marching. I see you going. Just keep your head up. Keep believing God for the impossible. For God's going to make the impossible known unto his people. Praise the Lord. God can do it. Amen. For a woman that had the same trouble in her body before she left for California, he can do it for you tonight. And in Jesus' name, let something be finished in this man's life this night. I release it to your blessing. You begin to produce according to God's divine plan this night. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you for it, God. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for your healing this night. There is a bomb in Gilead, Father. There is still power in your cross. Praise the Lord. I see you. Amen. I see you running. I see you walking. I see where you, amen, where the enemy would like to cause you to faint. But I see you walking. I see you marching. I see you going. Just keep your head up. Keep believing God for the impossible. For God's going to make the impossible known unto his people. Praise the Lord. God can do it. Amen. For a woman that had the same trouble in her body before she left for California, he can do it for you tonight. And in Jesus' name, let something be finished in this man's life this night. I release him to your blessing. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Come on, love the Lord. Come on, love the Lord. Praise the Lord. All into the bowels, Lord. All into the urinary areas, Lord. Praise the Lord. Set my brother free, Lord, this night. All the pain, I command you to go. Praise the Lord. And I bind health. I bind healing to his life this night. I feel that spirit. Praise the Lord. I thank you for it, God. All into his back, Father. Amen. The lower back, the hips, Lord. Let your healing go forth. All into the heart, God. Amen. Do an overhaul this night, Father. Make your son whole in Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. Let the darkness turn to great light, Father. This night forward in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Even baptize them tonight, Father, into this fire. It's in this room that others have spoken about. Baptize them this night with this Holy Ghost, with this fire, even with this revelation, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Come on, magnify Jesus. How do you feel? How do you feel?
Better.
Praise the Lord. I love you, sir. I really do. I dare you. I dare you to go out there and use that restroom and see if you have any more problems. Praise the Lord. I'm going to magnify Jesus. I feel that bomb. Hallelujah. Oh, the glory. Help me sing. And though the glory of your praise we will temple, we give you carpet. Praise the Lord. Surely I will take you from a place called disciple, and I will make you to be my friend even in the earth. And there shall not be one thing in the earth that I shall do, amen, lest I first sit down and speak with it with you. But just continue on and keep making steps even toward coming this way, where you're going to find great power, and you're going to find such a blessing. What you've been looking for and waiting on shall overtake you even in this place. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless her life, Father. Bless her life, Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Cause the anointing to become greater, Father. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. And where she's gave herself to ministry, let her give herself once again, Lord, in a new place. Amen. God wants to sit down and talk to you. He's gonna answer every one of your questions. Let's continue on making steps. Thank you for it, God. Bless her life, Lord, this night. Bring that visitation, Lord. Amen. Even as others have already had that one out under this tent, bring that one for this one. In Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. Not an accident that we met. Praise the Lord. You're a blessing to this preacher. I want you to know it this night. You are a blessing to this preacher. And I pray, Lord, that the peace of God would rest upon her mind and the decisions that she's to make. The steps that she's going to go, Lord, let such great peace and such great joy, amen, flood her home, Father, flood her marriage, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. I thank you for it, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Somebody magnify it tonight. Somebody magnify it tonight. Glory, and to thee we ascribe the honor, unto thee we ascribe power and majesty, holy, alone.
time, give them a shout. Come on back up here, Brother Sean.
Maybe God spoke to him about somebody.
Praise God. Are you happy? Does you feel God here tonight? Why don't you give God and his pastor a great big hand clap?
Always save the announcements for last. Turn your neighbor, say tomorrow. We're going to be taking down the tent, putting the equipment up, the trucks.